Okay, good morning, everybody. Good to be here. Fire, if you will, come on up and we'll get started.
Amen.
celebrating his birthdays or anniversaries. I know of one today. Come on, Levin. And yesterday was, Harper, you listened in the car, and yesterday was your birthday. We want to wish you a happy birthday as well. Harper's sick today, so be praying for him. Okay, let's sing happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Just one will not do.
Child sick.
Yeah.
And you know, you really worry about pretty sick a little bit. It's just really took a toll on me too, so. But he's getting turned around, so thank God for that. Back to the whole family. Anybody else?
Tommy and I can remember me. I had those shots put in my back Wednesday. I had one of the two sides fine. It's supposed to do something in my feet before I could ever walk. I really miss being able to walk and get around like I used to. And I just thank the Lord for saving me. What
is
that for?
He is good. He is worthy.
Amen.
Anybody else?
Pray for the lady that Candy mentioned this morning. She works with Scott Cancer. Pray for Vicki Cole.
Yeah.
And Lord, give her strength. Would you want to mention one more time about your brother, Paul, and what's going on for your brother?
My brother, he's in the hospital with pneumonia and heart problems. And then his grandson, back the truck on the little 3-year-old girl, they killed it. He didn't know it was behind the truck, but he backed out and went up it.
Yeah, that's just sad right there. Can't help it. I always try to look around me too, whenever I'm back and forth or whatever. One time down in Louisiana, old guy, he ran behind me while I was backing in. And I walked in there, tried to be as Christian as I could, but it made me mad. And I said, "Do you not value your life any?" He said, "Run behind the truck, you're the wrong man." He just ran around the other way, so I hope he, you know. But anyway, be praying for that right there. That, I'm sure it's going to lay hard on him. It's a hard thing to deal with, especially when being a child. Anybody else?
I'd like for you to pray for me. I thought I have hope for Shelby's leg.
Yes.
Burning and stinging. So pray that they find out what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah. Keep me in your prayers too. My left knee's starting to, my nervous gauge is starting to go out. So maybe the last another year and a half, I'll retire. Get it fixed. Anybody else? Okay. All we can, we'll come around. We'll pray about the service today, pray about sickness, if anybody's lost, pray that they'll get saved before we get through those doors. There's about the visitors, welcome them. Alright. Glenn Abel, will you pray? Lead sister, pray.
Dear Lord,
thank you.
good to be here at the house of the Lord. Thank the Lord for allowing us to come in once again. You know, as a lot of you is not able to be with us last week, sickness and one thing or another. We're supposed to do communion last week. You know, there's two of us that's able to actually physically be here in the building because no sickness is going around. So we waited and we're going to do that here just a little bit after the service. So just hang out for that. Right after the service, we'll do that. Just as the Lord said, He said, do this always in remembrance of me. Amen. And we'll read just a little bit of scripture in just a little bit. We'll do that. In any case, if you haven't wrote down the question for this month's foundation study, we have a foundation study. It's the last Sunday of each month at 5 o'clock, that Sunday afternoon at 5 o'clock or Sunday evening. And we give a question, and everyone gets a chance to answer that question. And, you know, we live in a day and a time where there's so much skepticism. And I'm not saying you shouldn't be skeptical. You should be. Me and Brother Matt was talking a little bit ago. He's talking about that is his nature, is to be skeptical. And I said, it is also my nature. I believe in today's time, you ought to be skeptical of things that you hear and see on the internet, on TV, and, you know, the line media, everywhere else. If you're on the radio, if you're working, you ought to be skeptical. But we ought to be skeptical of the Word of God. Amen. But we live in a day and time, and it's very much accepted, and it's very much proposed that you should be skeptical of the Word of God. And it seems everyone will accept any kind of truth, no matter what it is. They'll, you know, say, well, my truth might not be your truth, and they'll make up their own truth. What's true for me isn't true for you. But everyone's skeptical of the Word of God. We shouldn't be skeptical of the Word of God. So that's why we do this foundation study, is that we might help shore up our trust and confidence in the Word of God. And that if there's any questions that arise, any kind of stumbling block that Satan may lay before us, that we would have an answer for that. That we would have a foundation, something to stand on so that we don't stumble or fall. And the question for this foundation study for this month is this. What is one of the Jewish traditions or laws that the Christian does not keep or does not practice? And then tell us why, biblically, why as Christians do we not keep some of the Jewish traditions and laws that are recorded in the Bible? So, anyways, you'll find the answer for that will be a lot of the same answer, but it's all a good answer, amen? So be looking into that, study on that, and bring us that whenever it comes the last Sunday of this month. What is the last Sunday this month? Somebody's giving the dates.
28th.
The 28th? All right, so I'll do 28th at 5 o'clock. We'll be having our youth rally coming up here sometime in April. We haven't quite got the dates set out for that yet, but I'm pretty sure it'll be in April. I've been praying about it, and we just got to get the dates sorted out. The preacher, Curtis Presnell, he's going to be the one preaching it for us. He's already said that he would. He agreed to it. And been praying about it for a while. I appreciate you all helping me pray about that. I know I've mentioned it several times. And asked you all to help me pray. And that's what the Lord laid on my heart. And I called him. And he said he'd be glad to do it. He's excited about it. And any case, we'll be looking forward to that. Be praying for him. And we'll be doing that. Let's see. Do I have anything else I need to say? Okay. All right. We're having around the 27th, that's Saturday, at 3 o'clock. Saturday the 27th at 3 o'clock. There's a sign-up sheet in the back if you want to bring any fingerprints or anything. And remember that. Let's see. Is anything else? Brendan ain't here. I ain't got no Brendan. My wife ain't here. I'm limited on my secretaries today.
Sure,
I
have to be secretary
there. Yeah, she is the secretary. She literally is the secretary. You know, I've got several that I have to remind me. I got her care here. And I'm missing Stephanie. I'm missing Brenda. That's okay. I got Vivian, too. Am I forgetting anything?
Huh?
Am I forgetting anything? In any case, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. It's good to laugh a little bit. I'm glad y'all aren't as goofy as I am. Amen. I think the goofy side of my head, after I tried to pastor a church full of real serious people, you know, that'd be difficult for me. It would. Because I'd always feel like, you know, I've preached to some serious people. I've preached in some Baptist churches. You think that it's Methodist or something serious. You know, I love how the Methodist, you know, can I make fun of Methodists for just a second? I love how the Methodists, you know, you go to a Methodist church, and they're real serious when they're in church. But the night before they was at the bar, half of them was. You know. But when they're there, they're serious about it. You know, don't smile, don't do anything else, you know. But in any case, I'm glad that we can follow the Word of God. Amen. And it's not because I'm a Baptist. It's because the Word of God stands true and stands firm. And it's worth following. Amen. All right. I wonder if anybody's got a special song they'd like to sing this morning before we get started. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
been preaching on Wednesday nights on the times that we find Christ in the Old Testament, and we're not going to be there today, but on last few Wednesday nights, as we've been doing them last Sunday morning, but this past Wednesday night, I was preaching out of Genesis chapter number 6, and preaching on Noah and the ark, and I made reference to talking about how that whenever Noah and his family entered into the ark was a type of Christ. It delivered him from the wrath of God. The wrath of God was poured out upon mankind because mankind had sinned. And then we see how that whenever that they were put in there, it said that God had shut the door on the ark.
Amen.
Whenever God shut that door, no man could open that door. Whenever God had sealed and shut that door, no one could enter in, and no man could open that door. And what I want to preach on this morning, where the Lord's led us to, is, you know, just from that thought, thinking on this, a reprobate mind. The reprobate mind. And we find the most knowledge that we see here in the Word of God about the reprobate mind in Romans in chapter 1. So if you would turn with me to Romans chapter 1, we want to look at that this morning. So we have a better understanding of what it means to have a reprobate mind. By implication, that is the same thing that happened there in Genesis 6 when God shut the door on the ark, meaning that someone who is given over to a reprobate mind, as we see here in the New Testament, someone who God has, so to speak, shut the door on, where that they would no longer be able to ever be saved, that they have sinned beyond the point of grace. Not that they were sinner than you and I, or that they've done anything worse than you and I, but just the simple fact that God has offered forgiveness. And because they have rejected, because they have not believed, and because they have chosen to continue in their trespasses and sins, and to reject the love of Jesus Christ, there comes a point when God will cut them off, and God says that's enough. And we see a plan that God has laid out for us that leads to someone being given over to that reprobate mind. It's not as if God just does that and acts in that way in a fashion that we would be unexpected or unpredictable to us. But it gives us a guideline that we can see, a formula that people will follow that leads to that reprobate mind. It's not something that would just catch us by surprise. But in Romans in chapter 1, I want to begin reading here in verse number 18. Romans chapter 1 verse number 18, the Bible says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity,
whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that need him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Pray that you'd add your blessing to the reading of it this morning and to the preaching hour. May, Lord, you be glorified. May you touch our hearts and minds, God, and draw us closer to yourself, that our lives would reflect your glory and honor, for you're worthy. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And so, we see here in verse number 28, it says, God gives them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. But it's not as if God just simply says, you know what, I believe I'll make you a reprobate, and I believe I'll just give you another chance. I'll make this one a reprobate and this one another chance. It's not as if that he's just simply picking and choosing, and that if it's just basically a lottery. We tend to get the mindset that we're just going to automatically become a reprobate if we just make one mistake, or, you know, if we just fail to believe in some way. You know, I remember whenever I was lost, I remember having the mentality to think that way. But this is the thing. Whenever we look at the reprobate, first of all, let's notice some things. A reprobate is going to be someone, let me say this, you'll never find the reprobate being the one that says, and I said this Wednesday night, it's worth repeating. I've heard stories told of people on the altar crying out for God to save them, and God wouldn't save them. That's not true. The Bible says, amen, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
I don't care who said that, it goes against biblical doctrine.
Yes.
And if it goes against biblical doctrine, it's wrong.
Amen.
Okay? The reprobate is someone who is either convinced that they are saved. They might be a Baptist, they might be a Catholic, they might be a Methodist, whatever the case may be, but they are convinced that they are right with God. Reprobate can also be someone who follows a different religion and is convinced of it. And they believe in, you know, some other religion, but they can, you know, like I said, there's people that follow other religions can still be saved, right?
Yeah.
People who are falsely converted and have made a false profession, they can still really be saved. It happens all the time, right?
Yeah.
And lastly, atheists and people who do not believe in God at all. But there's still atheists who can be saved, right? Yeah. But I'm saying that those categories right there are the things that will lead to reprobation. And whenever we look at this, whenever we see what it says leads to it, it says, first of all, notice in verse 18, it says, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. What does it mean to be revealed? It means to be shown. It says, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. It says we are witnessing the wrath of God taking place here on the earth in this. It says this is what we're witnessing. It says the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. And so what we're about to read, these stages, if you will, that lead to someone being turned over to this mind of reprobation, this mind of complete and absolute unbelief in the precious Son of God, Jesus Christ. That is God's wrath being revealed from heaven.
Yeah.
Now look at where it starts. It says that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven because they hold the truth in unrighteousness. Notice this, there will not be one person at the judgment, at the great white throne of judgment of God, that's going to say, well, Lord, I didn't know any better. I was convinced of this. He's going to say, you held the truth in unrighteousness. There'll not be one person that'll say the teacher taught in the school about evolution or whatever the case may be. When we read this in a textbook, I was convinced of so-called science. That's what Paul calls it, so-called science. True science reveals the Creator. Yeah. And that's even what he says here in verse 19. Because that which may be known of God is manifest. And that word manifest means to be shown, to be revealed. Something that was hidden to be made seen. Something that you couldn't see is now seen, be made manifest. If I was to take and hide my microphone in here and keep it there, you couldn't see it. But if I bring it out here, it's been made manifest. That's what it means, to be made manifest. It says, that which may be known of God is manifest in them, in everybody. You say, well, what do you mean by that, preacher? You go ask anybody, do you have a set of morals? Ain't a person in the world don't have a set of morals. Where does morality come from? Does it come from man? It comes from God.
Amen.
Things are wrong because God says they're wrong, not because man says they're wrong.
Amen.
It's manifest in them. Bible says this, it says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. Ain't it funny how that even a small child with very little understanding of the way the world works, and without having knowledge of good and evil, so to speak, in the most part sense, they know when they've done wrong, don't they?
Yes, sir.
They know when they've done wrong. Sawyer the other day, he came and he got his mama, and he said, Mama, I ate a Lego, but it's okay. He said, come out. And she said, what do you mean it come out? He said, well, come look in the toilet. It come out. And she said, well, honey, when did you eat the Lego? He said, the other day. She said, honey, why didn't you tell me you eat a Lego? Because I figured you'd be mad. Now, nobody ever told him it was wrong to eat Lego. But he just seemed to know somehow that that wasn't a good idea. Even the little children tend to know whenever they made a mistake and done something they shouldn't have, right? That's what the Bible's talking about when it says this. It says, that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. The Bible says, for even the invisible things of him, verse 20, from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. It says the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Whenever we look at everything that we see, we call creation, we can see God's fingerprints in it. So-called science would have you believe that somehow or another all this just came into existence by some big boom, you know, that everything comes from nothing. And that's basically what they have to say if you draw them back far enough. The so-called theories of evolution and so on and so forth, they would have to tell you that everything comes from nothing. Well, things don't come from nothing.
Right.
Amen? I mean, that's just easy to see. But whenever we look at not just how the things are made, but let me just give you this. Any of you high school kids, y'all take science class? What is the smallest thing that human beings can possibly understand and study? What is the very smallest thing?
Atoms.
An atom. What is an atom made of? What is it?
Subatomic particles.
Yeah, but what does it look like? Somebody describe an atom for me. Somebody knows.
A series of rings going around like three ball-shaped things.
Yeah, what's the thing in the middle? Okay, it's got protons and neutrons, right? For those of you who don't know, I'm going to give you a visual. Say this right here. The end of this right here, that right there is the nucleus. All right? And this right here is one of the protons. And it does this. And it's got some neutrons, and they're doing this, you know, around it. That's what they do. And everything's made of atoms, right? Right? Is there anything that is not made of atoms? Somebody's better at science, tell me, because I don't know. Is there anything that's not made of atoms? They tell me everything is made up of this. Right? What is the biggest thing that we can study and know in our universe?
The solar system.
And what does it consist of? A big ball with little balls going around it. Don't it sound like that the same one made both? It's clearly seen from the things that are made that there was an intelligent design, that there's been a creator. I've said this before, you can go over to South Mountain, you can stand at that waterfall, and you can stand there for the whole entire day And I promise you, if you took a picture every second, it's going to be different every time, because that water, as it's coming off those falls, is not following the same pattern exactly every time. It's like a snowflake. Each one has its own unique pattern. In the same way, man cannot recreate those things. It took an intelligent designer. It took one who was far superior to anything that man could do. The Bible says here that the invisible things of him are from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. So we see that if there is one who is able to create all this and set these things in motion, then he must have absolute authority. That he must be the one who is in control. That's why somebody has eternal power and Godhead. So the Bible says that they are without excuse. The atheist in the day of judgment is not going to have the excuse of higher education and college degrees. The one who is the skeptic is not going to have the excuse of what I believe, of what I read in a book. There will be no excuse that is given. God is going to say, I revealed to you myself, even in my own creation. It was before your very eyes. And it wasn't because that you were educated. It wasn't because that you wanted to strive to do something in life. It was not because you were ignorant. It was certainly not because somebody was smarter than you and able to understand it. Because I'm not a very smart person. I'm a pretty ignorant person myself. But I can see the creation. And it's not because of any of that. But it's because, just like the Bible says in John chapter 3, that the condemnation of men is that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. There'll be no excuses given. The Bible says the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. Verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Because light has come to the world, men love darkness rather than light. It says, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful. To see everything that God's created, or to give him glory, mankind, or to be given God praise and honor for everything that he's done, everything that takes place, every time that we see another sunrise and a sunset, every time you wake up in the morning and you see that frost covering the landscape out there.
Yeah.
You know what we say? Golly, I gotta walk out here in this cold and crank my car. When's the last time you just stopped and said, "Thank God, a perfect artist"? You see, what leads to reprobation is whenever we refuse to glorify God and we become unthankful in our hearts. We become unthankful whenever we begin to, old adage, look at the cup half empty rather than half full. That's us human nature, and we tend to want to look at what we're missing rather than what we got. We live in a day of instant gratification and Facebook and Instagram and so on and so forth. And most people, they get up, first thing they do is they get on Facebook and see what everybody else is doing. And makes you feel like that, you know what, I have a rule. You can ask my wife, she'll tell you, if we go on vacation, you are not taking no pictures and putting it on Facebook. That's the rule. You know why? Because if I go on vacation, I'm there to enjoy myself. I'm not there to convince 988 other people that I'm enjoying myself. I'm there to enjoy myself. You get what I'm saying? What we are doing instead of getting up and first thing in the morning getting on Facebook and seeing what's going on, we're to get up and get our face in the book and see what's going on. Amen. That'd be a lot more beneficial. You know why? Because whenever we're doing the measuring stick game, we're comparing our lives. And so I promise you, the people you see on Facebook, Instagram, on social media, they're just as miserable as you are. They got the same problems you do. Probably a lot of them is worse off. They just paint a good picture. That's all they do. Yeah. And listen to me, kids. You youngins, listen to me. Yeah. Your favorite YouTubers and influencers, whoever they are, if you got to know in real life, I guarantee and promise you that they're probably the most miserable people you ever met.
Yeah.
That personality you see is 110% fake. They ain't like that one bit in real life. I promise you, if you met them in real life, they're probably some of the most miserable people you ever met. Let me tell you what you do to be happy. It ain't going to be making money. It ain't going to be getting friends and followers. And this, that, but what's going to make you happy is living a life that's pleasing to God.
Yeah.
It's going to give you peace. It's going to give you prosperity. It's going to give you help. It's going to give you understanding. You ain't going to have to guess at it. Hey, I'm going to tell you what, he'll make it real easy for you. He said, matter of fact, he said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Amen. He said, you just follow me. He said, I'll make it real easy on you. He said, I'll carry it most of the way. Amen.
Sure.
The Bible says here that they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain, and their imaginations, their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. I think men ought to just go up there and spray paint that in the halls of Congress.
Yeah.
Reminds me of every politician I ever heard speak and open their mouth. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Man's wisdom is okay, but it can't take you so far.
That's
right. Bible says there's a way that seems right unto a man, and the end thereof is destruction. We tend to think we got things figured out. I've done that many times in my life. Thought I knew something, or thought I could do something on my own. Just to be reminded of how weak and how incapable and insignificant I really am. But I'm glad that we've got a God that we can depend on, who is wise, who has true wisdom to offer. He offers it from his word. Some of the things that lead to this reprobate mind is trusting in the wisdom of man. It says in verse 23, they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man and the birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. In verse 25, let's skip to verse 12. Let's read verse 23 and then 25 together, because we're going to get back to verse 24. But hold on. Read 23 and then 25 together. I'm going to read 23 and I'm going to go right to 25. We're not going to skip to 24. Just wait for just a second. It says, they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God to an image made like the corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Now, the reason I didn't get to verse 24 yet is I wanted you to see the connection there between 23 and 25. But you see the connection there. It says that rather than worshiping God as the God of the Bible, the creator of everything, it says they would like to put him into an image. That's not something new. And we think of that as being something new. We talk about these hippies and tree huggers and people like that, you know, that worship, the forest. They want to save the forest. They want to save all the animals. And, you know, there's always a cause. You get out there, and there's always somebody that's out there begging to save animals and help the animal shelters and do all this, that, and other. That's fine. But don't give me that junk. I'm just going to be honest with you. Don't give me that junk and tell me you're a Christian and you're not out there witnessing the people that's dying and going to hell.
Yeah.
Right. Don't give me that junk about the animals and saving all the dogs and puppies whenever there's people that are dying and going to hell and you are not out there witnessing to them. As a Christian, we ought to make the gospel our number one priority. Yeah. Paul said, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. The Bible said the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Let's back up in Romans 1 and read there in verse 16. Paul said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Amen. He says, let me just go ahead and read verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. I'm justified because I've had faith in Jesus Christ, the one who died for my sins. The gospel, what does that mean? It's a Greek word for good news. That's what it means. It means good news. The bad news is all have sinned and fell short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. The bad news is that we all have missed the mark, so to speak, and that we will die in our trespasses and sins because we love darkness rather than light. But the good news is this. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever would believe in him, amen, shall not perish but have everlasting life. What is it that leads to a reprobate mind? It's failure to believe, amen, in the Son of God. And it's not because you don't have the intellect to believe. It's not because that you're not able to believe. You're perfectly able. God has put it in you. He's revealed it to you. He's made known to you the knowledge of his Son. It's because you refuse to believe.
Right.
To believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God. But he says this, they changed the truth of God to lie. This is the stages. We see that they became unthankful. They glorified not God. And then we see, and we see this in society, right?
Yeah.
We see this in society, how the causes of what's considered good and right, something that would be considered, that's a good cause. Are we paying attention? Are y'all with me?
Yeah.
You get out there and you get to witness to people and tell people about Jesus, tell people they're dying and they're going to hell, but that God loves and wants to save them, and tell you to hush.
Yeah.
Society will tell you to hush with all that crazy talk. That's what the Bible tells us to do. But you go out there, you can do all the other things you want to. You can save the animals, and you can advocate for, you know, picking up the trash and making sure that the environment's took care of, and you know, cut out the greenhouse gases and all this, that, and other. You know what that sounds like to me? That sounds like a case of Romans 1, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creation more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Let me guess what? Can I say this? The same one that created this earth maintains it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I ain't no scientist again. But they tell me that we breathe oxygen.
Right.
And that we have to have oxygen to live. They tell me that the dogs and the animals and the deer and everything breathes oxygen. Yeah. And has to, even the kangaroos in Australia breathes oxygen. Platypuses and rhinoceroses and elephants and all of them, they breathe oxygen. That's what they tell me. And they tell me that the problem with cutting down the rainforest or harvesting timber or whatever the case may be is that it's taking away all of the flora, and it's taking away all of the trees and so on and so forth, and they produce that oxygen that we need.
Yeah.
That's the problem, right? And it's causing, you know, the atmosphere to grow thinner and the ozone layer to deplete, and it's decreasing the amount of oxygen there. But they also tell me that as we breathe in oxygen, that we breathe out carbon dioxide.
Yeah.
And then they tell me that them trees and so on and so forth that produce oxygen, that they breathe in carbon dioxide.
Yeah.
And now furthermore, I've read that whenever you clear cut, I hate clear cuts, well, I don't pay them. They're good for deer hunting after about 3 or 4 years. But I just don't like to see old timber cut down. I just don't. It hurts me. I like walking through old timber. I just do. But whatever. I understand you can't stop progress. But they say that if you clear cut a forest, that the undergrowth that comes back up whenever the sunlight reaches the ground again creates like something like 20 times more oxygen than the trees that have been standing there for 200 years. Because I guess there's more, you know, greenery or whatever. And so whenever I hear and read all this, I get to scratching my head and I say, wait a minute. Why is the government spending so many billions of dollars every year trying to maintain forests and everything else whenever in reality, if we want to help ourselves, we want to help those on there, and we want to add more oxygen, the best thing to do would be clear cut it off. According to their science that they say. But, you know, it doesn't add up. But so what is it then? It's more than just common sense. It's more than just scientific. It's more than just factual. It's spiritual.
Right.
And the Bible says they worship and serve the creation more than the Creator.
Right.
So it's not just based on fact and science.
Right.
There's a spiritual aspect here where that Satan says, if I cannot garner worship for myself as being Lucifer, and as I cannot garner worship for myself and away from God as being the evil one that I am, he says, I will garner worship for something that they might consider neutral, and they call it Mother Earth.
Yeah.
They've even given a name to this God that they worship.
Yeah.
And we see this in society today. And a lot of times we overlook it as just, well, that's just hippies. Or that's just, you know, people, it's just, there's a spiritual aspect to it.
Yeah.
And it's our job as Christians to combat that with truth and to give people the truth of what the gospel, that there is a place called hell and that in judgment we will be faced with it if we are not cleansed and washed and covered by the blood of Jesus, like the choir sang this morning. I've been covered by the blood, amen. I'm so glad that one day I'm going to stand before my God and my Bible says here, though, that as they change the glory of the uncorruptible God into things that are corruptible, such as birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things, it says in verse 24, wherefore, because of this action, because of the action of them refusing to worship the Creator, and because of them worshiping the creation, he says that God will give them up, meaning that he will turn them over, meaning that he will allow them to go into practicing uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Now, you say, well, now he's talking about the homosexuality. And everybody's thinking, that's what we've been waiting on. I know that's what you've been preaching on this morning when you said you was going wrong with one. Well, yeah, we're getting there. But that's not all of it. But here specifically, he's not talking about homosexuality. He's talking about sexual deviance. Mm-hmm. Period.
Yeah.
Sexual deviance, he means to deviate from God's design from what sex should be. God's design is that sex is to be between a man and a woman. He created them male and female. And his design for it is to be within the marriage. When the man and the woman are married. And anything that deviates from that is something that Satan has designed and sown into the hearts of men to create destruction, to steal, to kill, and destroy. That's all that Satan does. And the desires of the flesh will get us into trouble, but this is one of the stages, one of the steps that leads to reprobation. We see in today that we have a society that is on the verge of becoming reprobate itself because of the deviance that we see from God's plan. What does it mean to deviancy? It means to deviate. Such as if you are on a trip and your GPS says to go this way and there's a roadblock and you have to deviate and go around it and you're not following the path. The Bible says there is a straight and narrow way. Do not deviate. When the Bible talks about deviancy, it's talking about all manners of deviancy between whether it be homosexuality, transgenderism, this fornication between a man and a woman, pornography, whatever the case may be, it's deviancy from God's plan and design for sex, which is between a man and a woman within the bonds of marriage. I warn you, young people, this. Listen to me and take heed. If you deviate from God's plan, it will not help you, to cause you heartache.
Yes.
There is an addiction that is stronger than drugs. It's stronger than alcohol. And that is fornication. I promise you, I've been there. God saved me and delivered me from that. Praise his name. But I'm telling you firsthand, it is a dangerous thing to get caught up in. It leads to heartbreak. You can be dating someone, you can be having a good time. Even if you're planning on getting married, just because you're planning on getting married to them doesn't make it okay.
Right.
Just because you have, you know, a plan doesn't make it okay. But the fact that you make the commitment, you take the vows, you do it God's way, that's what sanctifies it. That's what makes it a good thing.
Amen.
It's not as if God wants you to go your whole life being celibate. Matter of fact, one of the very first commands he does, he has Adam and Eve, the very first man and woman. He tells them to go forth and be fruitful.
Yep.
That's what he tells them to do. He says, get together with one another. This is what I designed you for. It's good. The Bible says the marriage bed is undefiled.
Yeah.
Meaning that within the bonds of marriage, you have nothing to be ashamed of.
Yeah.
That it's something that God has sanctified and said it's good for you to do this. It's good for a man to have a woman and a woman to have a man. Matter of fact, the Bible gives us instructions on the fact that if a man is married, then his wife should not deny her husband her body. Neither should the husband deny the wife his body so that there's not lust created for one or the other.
Yeah.
But then if you're married, if there's one that says, hey, how about tonight? The other one, according to the Word of God, should say, okay. There you go, man. Congratulations. I'll just give you a card there to use. It's in there, read it. But it's designed for a man and a woman within the bonds of marriage.
Amen.
And that's it. Any deviancy from that is looked at as God as the same way as we would look at homosexuality or transgenderism.
Yeah.
It's the same kind of sin. It's sexual deviancy. Now, whenever we get to talk about those things that are not natural, now you can be a sexual deviant in the natural sense, but it can also happen unnaturally.
Yes.
And that is a further step and a further stage into this leading into this place of reprobation. Bible says in verse number 25, who changed the truth of God to lie, worship the serpent creature, more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And for this cause, look at verse 26. God gave them up to vile affections. For he calls it vile affections. Another place the Bible says it's an abomination.
Yeah.
Word vile is sort of the same thing. It means it's sickening. That's why we can say it's sickening to see a man with a man,
yeah,
or a woman with a woman, or a man trying to be a woman, or a woman trying to be a man. We go out somewhere, and I point out to my children, and I show them when we see these people. I say, that's a freak. Don't ever let them catch you looking like that. I tell them that, and I don't care. Because I want my children to know.
Yeah.
I want them to understand that that's wrong. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I'm not going to pacify it just because that's what society says to do. Hey, I will tell you what, this is still a country where we have our First Amendment rights,
yeah,
as American citizens, as freedom of speech, and it's still a country where we got our Second Amendment rights to carry a sidearm, amen.
Yeah.
So let them say something. I tell them, I say, don't ever let me catch you looking like that. So that's a shame and an abomination.
Amen.
That's disgusting in the sight of God. I'd love to witness to them. I have witnessed to them. I've told them that I talked to him one time. He was a transgender, I guess. His voice was as deep as mine. He's about 6'2". He's wearing a tutu and fishnet stockings.
Preacher,
you know where I found him at? He had him a blanket laid out in front of my grandma's house. I wonder if my papa would have been alive to see that. It was just a couple years ago. My first instinct was, I ain't going to go there. But the Holy Ghost got hold of me. I witnessed to him.
Yeah.
And I asked him, I said, are you some kind of queer? What are you? And he said, well, look at me, you know. He said, can you not tell? I said, I don't know. I don't even want to try to get a label. But I told him, I said, listen. I said, are you going to face God looking like that one day? He said, well, I guess I will. He'll just have to take me how I am. I said, no, he won't. I said, he's going to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I said, he's going to cast you into eternal darkness and hellfire to burn forever. And I began to space him, and he got upset. He began to threaten me and so on and so forth. But I kept telling him. And I told him, I said, listen, son. I said, Jesus loves you, and he wants to save you and deliver you from that. But this boy, he was so wrapped up and so caught up in this unnatural, vile, sexual deviance that he got to this point now where that he was convinced that it was okay and it should be accepted for him to dress not just like a woman, but like a prostitute.
Yeah.
He wasn't even just dressed like an average woman. He was dressed like a slut, a prostitute.
Yeah.
The Bible says, this cause God gave them vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use of that which is against nature. And likewise also the men leaving the natural use of the woman, burning their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was mean. Receiving in themselves the recompense of their... You look at the homosexual community, it is the most depressed people in the nation by far. The numbers that reflect the ones that they've talked to, they're more depressed than any other people group in the United States. The suicide rate is higher among homosexuals and transgenders than any other people in the country. Why? It's because they're going against nature. STDs, sexually transmitted diseases, are much higher than that of homosexual people. They receive the error of the recumbents, which is mean. It means it's fitting for them, in the eyes of God, to be faced with those kinds of trials because they have become unnatural, leaving their affection. You say, well, preacher, you ain't got to worry about me doing that. I don't. I don't worry about any adult here becoming a homosexual. But I will say this. Before we got there, he was talking about sexual deviancy. Before we got there, he's talking about refusing to glorify God and being unfaithful.
Yeah.
See, it's a snowball effect. You let sin, and you let one little bad attitude or character trait into your life, and Satan just gets his foot in the door. And he'll get you going down that hill, down that road.
Yeah.
And you might not never be a homosexual. Praise God. But what about your children?
Yeah.
And your grandchildren? What about your neighbors and those who look to you? Amen. The Bible says this, verse number 28, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to reprobate minds to do those things which are not convenient. It says, even as they did not like to retain God, knows that word to retain him in their knowledge means to even have just the slightest thought of an absolute authoritative creator in the back of their mind. See, whenever we're living in sin and we're doing things our way, we don't like to be reminded that God is not pleased with that.
Right.
We want to believe that God is accepting of that. That's why that, you know, the homosexuals have not just said, you know, for the most part, they're not just a bunch of atheists. No. I hope you realize this, that the homosexuals and the transgenders, they claim that God's okay with this.
Yeah.
They claim that there is a God, that he's okay with the way that they're living. And why is that? Because they do not like to retain the true God of their knowledge. So who, what God are they worshiping? It's not the God of the Bible.
Amen.
Well, we know there's not any such thing as little g gods.
Right.
There is the one true only God. And there is Satan, Lucifer. And so where is their praise and their worship going? It's going where Satan intended it. Yeah. He's receiving it for himself.
Yeah.
And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to reprobate mind. I want to tell you, there's a very dangerous reality that someone could become a reprobate by following this progression. Where does it start? It doesn't start out so radical like we're talking about now. Just a minute ago, we was just talking about people just being unthankful.
Yeah.
Not glorifying God, just getting up in the morning and looking at the frost and worrying about cranking their car rather than saying thank you God for another day.
Mm-hmm.
See where it leads to, though? You see why we got to get a hold on it early in the game?
Yeah.
You see why it's important that we don't leave these stones unturned in our life and that we take control now, because this leads somewhere. There's a progression of sin. And Satan just simply wants to get his foot in the door. That's all he wants. He doesn't want to automatically just... He don't care if you go to the rescue. If he can get you, and if he can get a husband and wife split up, that's great. If he can get a not speaking to mom and dad ever again, that's great. If he can do all these things to split up families and split up churches and cause people to cheat, steal, lie, that's great. But if he can just simply get you to that,
yeah,
that's good enough for him.
Yes, sir.
The very first interaction we ever see with Satan in the garden, Genesis chapter 3, first thing he says, hath God truly said?
Yeah.
If he can just get you to that, he's got his foot in. We live in a time, a place, amidst a people that are so close on the verge of becoming reprobates. We don't know. That's the problem. We don't know who is and who isn't. What we do know, it is our responsibility as Christians, as children of God, to give the gospel and to live the gospel. There's plenty of people told me the gospel, preached it to me and everything else. But I think the biggest thing that God used to save me was the testimony that my grandfather had and the way that he lived the gospel. I seen it in his life. And it was powerful in him because he lived it. I don't think there's probably many mornings or any time that he didn't some way glorify God. Just always, just little times, you know. He never really had no great big long conversations and told me about the gospel or nothing else, but just all the little times that I seen that he was different than everybody else. Because he wanted to glorify God. He's always thankful. Never had a whole lot of money, but he's always thankful for what he had. He got them first steps right. And he never had to worry about them last steps. If we just get them first things right, then last things will be a problem for us.
Right.
Bible says that thieves have become reprobate. It says they're filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness. I'm not going to name all these things. Verse 32 says, who knowing the judgment of God, and they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Their conscience is seared. They're not worried about it anymore. They're living how they want to and doing what they want to, and they don't care what anybody thinks of it. You know what that does? That ruins it for everybody. That ruins society for everyone. Why do you think that so many lies are being taught to our children in schools concerning evolution and now all this transgenderism and critical race theory and all the bunch of junk that they're being taught? Where do you think that comes from? It comes from a society that's fallen away from truth, a society that has began not only to thrive in the first stages of apostasy, but even in the last stages where concerning sexual deviancy in the point where that's become unnatural. And why is that? Because they do not retain God's knowledge. So God says, all right, you don't even want to consider me or think about me. He says, I'll remove any knowledge from you. Whatever last strain that you had that you wanted rid of, I'll take it. I'll give you what you want. And that's what he does. And he removes anything that would be restricting anyone from just doing what they want to do and living how they want to live. I want to be a light in the culture I live in. I want to be the one that stands for truth. I want to be the salt that's preserving God's holiness. I want to be the child of God, the one that they can see God working in my life. If people see me, then they'll see mess, and that's fine. But I want to see God. I want to see Jesus Christ working in my life and saying, look what he's done for that boy. He's changed his life. Look what he can do for me. There's still people out there that God has yet to save and that God will save. And what a blessing it is to be a part of that. If we would just find God and be obedient to God. We look at the day and age we live in and we say, well, it's so hard today. But I want to tell you this. You live in such a day and age that you could shine so much brighter than your mom and daddy could, than grandma and grandpa could. Hey, grandma and grandpa, they lived in a day when everybody went to church. It's hard to be a diamond in the lump in the midst of a bunch of lumps of coal whenever everybody's doing things right. But today's time, whenever everybody's so wicked and so vile, hey, don't just use that as an excuse to be halfway wicked yourself. Be a diamond and stand out. Let your little light shine, and then don't hide it under a bushel. But let it shine and let people see the love and the glory of God in your life.
Amen.
And you'll be brighter than ever.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads for prayer. I wonder, Miss Sherry, would you come play something on piano? And I just want to give everyone here an opportunity as we bow our heads for prayer. She's going to play on the piano. We ain't going to sing. She's just going to play. I want to give you the opportunity this morning. If there's anybody here that's lost, I want you to just consider and say, Lord, I need your help this morning. I want to be saved. I want to live for you. I want to be a light for others. I want to serve you. I don't want to continue walking the path of darkness I've been on. Ask God to save you this morning. If you're here this morning and you don't want to continue just being in the middle of the road or not being an effective Christian, you want to help change somebody's life and you want to counteract the culture you live in. But you know you need God's strength and help to do it. Why don't you come this morning and say, Lord, help me to stand out. These people that are watching me, I want to be alive. I want to stand out. I see the danger that our culture is in. I see the danger that my children, that my loved ones are falling into. I want to be alive. I want to be here. Why don't you come this morning? Thank you. share it. All right, this time we'd like to continue on to the end of the service here. We're going to have communion.